With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Doug and Jess, and we got a very special thing to tell you about that's happening with Mr. Oster, who's back from vacation, and also Davey Trees Talking Trees. Number to dial to be on the program, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access, kdkradio.com, or you can text us on the Red Automotive Line, the best deal in town. 10th caller right now at 412-922-1020 is going to win a $25 gift certificate from Sorgles. Welcome back, Doug. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning. I am Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulture Jess Horticulture. My goodness.
You don't know your own name. It is early in the morning.
I haven't drank my full cup of coffee yet, so.
Don't you have
Can I start that over?
Let me put a shot of bourbon in there.
Yeah, okay? That's what I need on a Sunday morning.
Good
anyway.
Good morning, Pittsburgh. I'm Doug Oster from Everybody Gardens and the Tribune Review.
And I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser. Take two.
We've got lots of good stuff to talk about today. Talking Trees with Davey Trees, talking end of summer tree care. If you've got tree questions, give us a call. And today is the Tomato and Garlic Day at Phipps. It's a free event and something that I helped found, and it's a way to collect fresh produce for the food bank. If you bring your garden produce, it goes right to the food bank. They have a truck there. You get into the conservatory for free. Lots of cool stuff going on today. I'm going to be serving my ultimate garlic lover's soup all day. There's a festive outdoor market, all sorts of great stuff, things for kids to do. Gardening questions could be answered by Dr. Phipps. And it's just a great day, 11 to 4 today at Phipps. And, of course, as always, my daughter will be paid $25 to dress up like a tomato.
She got a raise, $5. Finally, after 30 years, she gets a raise. About time. Good kid.
Well, what's going on in the garden, Jess?
Oh, my gosh. I did a little recognizance cleaning up yesterday in the garden. All my and I've heard this from many gardeners that the zucchini plants have, despite our best efforts, succumbed to squash vine borer, which was frankly okay with me because I was up to my necks in zucchini for the past couple of weeks. So I was a little tired of making zucchini bread and breaded zucchini and fried zucchini and grilled zucchini. So and it's funny because I was thought, you know, me loving bugs as I do, I took my X-Acto knife out into the garden and pulled up the dead plants and sliced open the stems to see if I could find the squash vine borer inside of them. So I got some cool videos and pictures of that.
So you did find them.
I did find them, and I'll have to make some videos of it. But in the one, it was really cool because there was a rove beetle, which is a predaceous beetle that lives in the garden. And there's many species of them, but this is one of the larger ones. And it was eating one of the squash vine borers inside of the zucchini.
Does it go in like it sees the hole where the squash vine borer went into the vine, and then the beetle kind of follows?
Says, I don't know if it goes in that way, if it chews it's a new hole in there, but it locates it probably hears it like wiggling around in there, the squash vine borer, and then figures out a way in. And it was really neat. I got some cool pictures of that, too.
And when you get into that vine, is there usually just like one squash vine borer?
It depends. Sometimes there's multiple ones. Yeah, because this was, when you slice it open, you'll see it's real hollow inside and mushy. And you can see the squash vine borer's frass, which is their excrement. It looks a lot like sawdust. You'll see it inside of that, you know. And I just kept slicing all the way up the stem, probably about 2.5 feet. And I found two in that same plant. One was getting eaten by the rove beetle, and the other one was in there by itself. So it's interesting.
Any tomato hornworms?
No tomato hornworms this year.
I found about three of them, but none of them had the little cocoon on the back like they normally do.
Yeah, that doesn't mean they aren't parasitized, though.
Oh, yeah?
Because the parasitic wasp, which is a cotesia wasp, that uses the tomato and tobacco hornworm to feed its developing young, it lays eggs underneath the skin of the hornworm. This is great breakfast talk for a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And the larvae live inside the hornworm, so you don't even know that they're in there until they spin those cocoons and pupate in there.
Well,
so,
we'll see.
I
haven't been in the garden in a week. We'll go in there and take a look and see what we can find. But I was photographing all the... I think tomato hornworms are the coolest
thing. Oh, they
thing.
Are really cool.
But people really... They think they're really disgusting. I get some really close-up shots of their head. Ugh. but I think they're cool.
They are kind of neat. And I did harvest my potatoes yesterday, and I had the biggest potatoes I've ever grown in my garden. So that was kind of fun to do, too.
I do have one more thing to talk about. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., I'll be at the Shaler Library, hosted by the Shaler Garden Club, presenting Growing an Organic Garden in Black and Gold. It is open to the public, and we're going to have a lot of fun. We always do at Shaler Library. I usually go there once a year. And always love to see everybody from the Shaler Garden Club. It will be packed, as always, so come early and get a seat.
All right. Again, number to dial to be on the show, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. So we have a couple minutes before the break here, and really not enough time to take any phone calls. So what do you think we're going to be discussing today with Davey Trees as we approach Labor Day?
Well, it'll be interesting. You know, I've seen some trees, they're, you know, leaves are dropping here and there. Fungal issues certainly are going to be something to talk about. You know, any kind of pest damage, that sort of thing, when we get to this time of year. So we'll see. You know, it's always good to have the guys from Davey Tree in here because I always have questions. My crab apple that got smashed by that pine and oak that crashed down on it is looking pretty good. You know, there was a crack right in the middle, so I'm just watching carefully. What kind of rain did we have last week? Do we have any rain?
Yeah, we did. We had a good amount of rain.
Good. So,
at least where I live. So,
tree, you know, when you have a tree that's struggling like that or it's been injured, it's just something you got to watch. I was relieved when I got home to see that thing. Like, oh, it doesn't look any worse for the wear. So
it's always a good feeling.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Lots of tomatoes, of course. When I came back, downy and patient mildew, which is interesting, though. You know, Mrs. Know-It-All told me Serenade isn't effective against downy and patient mildew, but the plants that I used preventatively, sprayed with Serenade, look so much better than my other plants. I don't know if it's just coincidence or what it is, but maybe that fungicide is helping in some way. I don't know, but it's interesting to see the ones that I sprayed looked great compared to the other ones. And I'm just going to sub those out when we get to pansy time. You know, I'll just put pansies in there. You know, usually I want to I expect to lose those impatiens in about a month from now. But with the weather and everything,
yeah,
they got it again.
All right, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Congratulations to John from Pittsburgh, winner of that gift certificate from Sorgles. We have a gift certificate from Janoski's we'll give away in about 20 minutes. Next hour, it's Joe and Frank Dentisi on the Coons Cooking Hour, KDK Radio. Good morning. All right, here we go, folks. Nancy Mount Lebanon up first for Doug and Jess as we return to the Organic Gardens. Matt Frome going to be here from Davey Trees, Talking Trees, in just about 20 minutes. Hey, Nancy, good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning. Hey, I've got some Rose of Sharon volunteers that I've potted up to winter over to plant next spring. I'd say they're about 8 to 10 inches high, most of them. Should I, like, cut the top of them off to get them to branch out, or if so, when should I do it?
Sure, you could do that. Rose of Sharon, you can do anything to. It's a weed. Okay. If it was me, depending on what you want to do with them, you know, if they're just little seedlings like that, I just let them go. And then in the spring, you can shape them how you want to shape them once you get them in there. That's how I do it.
Okay, and what about, real quick, a Japanese willow on a standard that's gotten really heavy on the top. Can I prune that back now?
Yeah, those willows you can prune back pretty much any time. I would just make sure you use a clean pair of clippers, maybe spray them with a little bit of Lysol disinfectant before you use them so you don't introduce any pathogens into those cuts. But yeah, those plants are great, but they really do get top heavy because they're such quick growers.
Right. Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right, Dollar Bank Instant Access. Let's say hello and thanks to Marianne for sending us this message. It says, hello, Doug and Jess, love the show. I grew cosmos from seeds. I have a ton of high green ones, but no blooms. What can I do?
Wait, they'll bloom. They'll bloom when they're ready.
All right, let's go to
That's
Cindy.
That's what people have said about you for years. They'll bloom when you're ready.
Yeah, it's got to happen here pretty soon.
It could be, though. Like, I've also found with those cosmos, in addition to them just needing a little bit of extra time when you grow them from seed, is that if you do have a really high nitrogen soil, so if you've done a lot of fertilizing with, like, manure or a high nitrogen-based fertilizer, that you'll get a lot of green at the expense of flowers. So just be careful in your flower beds how much nitrogen you use.
Do you have all orange Tithonia that I gave you?
Yes, both plants are orange.
I have both kinds.
Oh, the orange is beautiful.
Yeah, I didn't know that I had any orange ones left. So.
Surprise.
Yep. This is a nice surprise to come home to.
Cindy in Toronto, Ohio, KDK Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. I have two weeping willow trees that the trunks, they're 4 years old. The trunks on them have split open and the sap is flowing out. Also, there are these strange growths that run up and down the tree. They're about the size of a pencil eraser, and out of that sticks little red growths. And the trees seem to be dying, and I don't know what's wrong with them. And also, could we take new starts off of these trees? Because they're definitely going to die.
Okay, so the little bumps that you're describing with little reddish growth nodes on them, they're nothing to worry about. That's sort of like a standard thing that young weeping willow trees do. So they aren't a worry. The split up the trunk, however, is a potential worry. Are the splits on the trunk all on the same side of every tree?
The one tree, they go clear around. The other tree, at this time, they're just on one side.
So is it a vertical split or is it a horizontal split?
No, they're vertical.
They're vertical splits because there is such a thing called frost cracking, which is where in the wintertime especially, where when the air is very cold, but then we have a nice sunny day, that causes the sap in the tree to sort of expand and start to flow a little earlier than it should, and that can cause that bark to crack. And trees do this sometimes, and they live a very long life with frost crack because it sort of calluses and heals over. So it could be that, especially if it's on the same side of every tree because of the way the sun, right, the side of the sun shining on it during the wintertime. But beyond that, it could be other things as well. And I think this is a good question that when Matt comes in from Davy Tree at the 7:30 at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to him about that as well and see if he has any additional advice for you on, you know, what you should do about it aside from having an arborist come out and take a look at those trees.
Well, unfortunately, we don't have arborists in our area, and that was why I was calling.
Well, we can check on that because most parts of the country, I know you're in Toronto, Ohio, do have Davy offices near them. So stay tuned because we're going
to talk to Matt, see what he says too. So,
okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's keep it going. Let's go to Marty in the North Hills. Marty, how you doing? Welcome to KDK Radio.
Hi, thank you very much. I planted tomatoes this spring, and soon thereafter, they all got a fungus. So I was told before I planted the tomatoes to put down newspaper and 4 inches of straw, and that would hold off funguses and so forth. Well, I planted the tomatoes, and soon thereafter, they all got a fungus. So then I was told to use Serenade. I use Serenade like every 4 days, and the leaves just kept getting brown. I kept pulling them off, and now I've got tomatoes that are stripped. My question is, should I even plant any tomatoes next year? I only have one spot to plant them in.
So you're in the same boat that I'm in, okay? And so some of those things that you did are the same exact things that Jess and I always do when we start off with our tomatoes. The only other thing in addition that I do is I like to stagger my plantings a little bit because the early planting, and especially with a weather like we've had this summer, this wet weather, like you said, you'd use the Serenade, you had it mulched,
right.
You did everything right. But when tomatoes have weather like this, it can just happen. The only thing I'm doing is planting, you know, some that third week of May, and then going a little later and a little later all the way into, like, I put my last plants in early July, the early girls. Early girls, something that can come, that the tomatoes come really quick. Cherry tomato like Sun Gold and early girl are my standards that I put in later because the soil isn't as cold, the air temperatures aren't as cold, and those usually do better for me. I've had some blight on my tomatoes, but it hasn't been as bad as what you're experiencing. As you're seeing, it's not killing the plant, it's just slowing it down. As long as you get your tomatoes, that's all that matters.
Very few, very few.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the plants are actually stripped.
Yeah.
And then the other thing to think about is disease-resistant varieties and lots of different varieties. Anything else you have to add, Jess?
I would say, you know what? if you still want to grow tomatoes next year and you're a little worried about that soil housing the fungi, which obviously it does, try growing some in containers. Go buy some big Rubbermaid storage.
I have some in containers, and they got fungus too.
Okay, well, here's the thing. With those containers, what a lot of people don't realize is that those fungal spores will overwinter really easily on the pots themselves. So if you grow tomatoes in pots at the end of every season, you need to empty out that potting soil. You need to scrub that pot out with a 10% bleach solution and let it, you know, air dry, and then put it in the garage or wherever you store it for the winter, and then replant, you know, with new potting soil in the spring. And that will go a long way. But like, here we go again. Like, you can do everything right.
Yeah.
And in a year like this, you'll still end up with fungal issues. I almost never have fungal issues on my tomatoes unless it is the blight that was the really nasty one the late blight that really wipes everything out. But I usually don't have too many issues, but this year I did.
And I'm planting. I'm in the same boat you are. I have to plant them in the same location.
It's the only spot you have sun, yeah.
Right. And all I'm doing too is every year I'm adding either manure or compost on top of that. I know the spores are still in there, but keep at it. Stagger those plantings and lots of different types of tomato.
Yeah, don't plant all one variety.
You know what? I do have. I have at least five varieties.
Great.
Wow.
Good. That's good.
And I put a compost in there this year. I put manure in there this year. I thought that might help. Nothing helped.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Don't give up, though. If we have a normal dry season,
yeah,
you'll be okay.
You'll be all right. Yeah. It's been the gardener's lament this year with the tomatoes. I mean, it really has been just, and there's nothing you can do. You can't control the weather.
Oh, yes, you can.
Well, you can put a little umbrella over each one of your plants.
You just have to know the right people. All right, listen, KDK Radio, Dollar Bank Instant Access, 30 seconds to answer this.
Oh, boy.
It is from Kathy. She says, I would like to cut some of the lower branches from a dogwood tree. Can I do that now? Dogwoods are so sensitive. Will it die if I remove the branches?
I wouldn't do it now.
No, but, and again, if they've got buds on it, you be losing your flowers anyway.
Losing your flowers and risk the transmission of anthracnose, which is a pretty big deal on dogwoods. So I would wait until the dormant season to prune that tree, unless you absolutely, absolutely must. But I would try to hold off.
All right, stay with us, folks. Lots more to come, including Matt Frohm's going to be here from Davey Trees Talking Trees. Doug and Jess continue. We'll have that gift certificate from Janoski's. After the news at 8 o'clock is Joe and Frank Dentisi, the Coons Cooking Hour, then Heffron Tillits and Your Money and You. And from 11 until 1, the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. Good morning. All right, we're back just moments away from Davey Tree Talking Trees, but I want to invite everyone to now, if you're the 10th caller, 412-922-1020, to call in. You could win that $25 gift certificate from the folks at Janoski's.
Well, Matt Frohm, we are glad to see you from Davey Tree, because we've got question after question after question for you, so we're putting you on the spot.
All right, sounds good.
All right, number one, we had a caller with, how old were they, four-year-old
willows? Four-year-old weeping willows, yes.
With what we think are frost cracks in it. If you saw four-year-old willows with cracked vertically like that, what would we need to do for a tree like that?
Well, you just want to make sure you continue to care for the basic needs of the tree using water and fertilization. You know, typically, a small tree that has vertical cracks, it's most likely going to be frost cracking that occurs, you know, when the water starts to expand inside the bark and freezes and causes these cracks. And the tree should be able to heal that over, you know, on its own. If you start to try to do anything to remedy that on your own, you may just cause more damage to the tree.
And willows, they like water, right?
They do love water. So, you know, typically they are going to show water stress if they're planted in a drier location on the property. So you do want to plant them where water's plentiful on your property.
And since we have you here, Jess, ask them about your tree.
Oh, yeah. So I have, I'm really glad you're here today, because my husband and I just had this conversation yesterday. We have this beautiful red buckeye that was a gift from a friend of mine years ago, and it's probably about 12 feet tall. And it usually this time of year looks a little bit ragged. We have the leaves get a little bit of a brown crispy around the outside edge. I think it's a fungal issue. And so my question to you is like, do we need to pick up all those leaves in the fall to keep it from spreading? Will that even make a difference?
It does make a difference with certain diseases. If you have leaves that fall on the ground with those fungal fruiting bodies on them, then they're just going to be a source for that disease of the following year. So you want to clean those up and get them off the property.
So don't put them on the compost pile.
Yeah, you don't want to put them on the compost pile. You know, there's a whole slew of different diseases that show up this time of year that, you know, that they've always been on the leaves of the tree, but they don't really start to manifest and start dropping leaves until later in the season. So apple scab is one of them on crab apples that you'll see some leaf spots that get on ornamental cherries. Spots get, you know, maple trees get tar spot, which is one that a lot of people know of, big black spots that get on the leaves. And so you just want to clean those up and remove them from the property.
And there's no need to spray the tree with anything at this point in the season, right? The trees have already gotten everything they need from those leaves?
Typically, yes. Okay. And once those spots start to show up and the leaves start to fall, any kind of treatment that you do is really, at this point, ineffective. The fungus has done its damage, and you're really not going to slow it down at this point.
Okay.
So let's talk a little bit about end of the summer tree care. And if we see leaves dropping or changing colors early, are we worried?
Yes, you can. You mean it should be something that you consider depending on the types of trees, especially newly planted trees. Typically, you'll see them starting to drop leaves early because they're water stressed. You know, trees that you plant in the spring, many people will be watering them early on when they first plant them, and then they stop watering after a few months. But, you know, a newly planted tree definitely needs to be watered, you know, frequently for the first year or two that you have it in the ground.
So when we're watering and it's a new tree, how do we know how much water to put on?
Well, you know, you can usually just, you can gauge it with if you have a rain gauge, you can put a, you know, sprinkler next to your tree, and you can, if you have a rain gauge, you can give it about an inch of water, inch to two of water. When you water it, you can also just do it based on time. You know, if you have a soaker hose, you know, a half an hour at a time is probably significant. A couple times a week, that should be good enough.
Is there a way to tell from the tree if it's over or underwatered?
Not usually, because those symptoms pretty much mimic each
other. Yeah, they're similar. Yeah.
They wilt when they're overwatered, and they wilt when they're underwater.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But usually overwater is, there's a lot more yellowing, and it's usually pretty uniform throughout the canopy of the tree. So if you see some yellowing with no leaf drop, a lot of times that is overwatering. And the easiest way to check that is just to check the soil.
Right.
Especially around here in Pennsylvania, where we have a lot of heavy clay soil. You know, there have been times where we have removed trees for people, and that hole that the tree was in just fills right up with water. You know, that clay mm-hmm. will really hold the water. So you want to be careful when you're planting trees to select the right spot.
What kind of year overall has it been for trees this summer?
The middle of the summer was rough. It was pretty hot. But Mother Nature has been doing us a favor the past couple of weeks. This time of year, it's usually really dry and dusty, but we've gotten a pretty significant amount of rain over the past few weeks, and things have started to green up a little bit. So I think it's been a decent year for that.
Seen anything crazy pest-wise?
One thing in particular is called it's jumping oak wasp. It's a gall that gets
now you
on
got
white
Jessica's
oak.
Attention. Yeah. Holy cow, she
I was like, what?
All right, now what's it called?
Jumping oak wasp. And it occurs on white oaks.
Okay.
And a lot of the white oaks, if you look at them, at least up in the North Hills where I work primarily, there's a lot of white oaks that have dry, crispy looking leaves. And at closer inspection, there's small little round spots all over the leaves, and that's caused by a wasp, not like, you know, a stinging wasp or something that you would normally think. It's a smaller insect, but they're not really an issue. It's not something you have to worry about, you know, treating and all this different stuff. But, you know, every year it seems like there's always something that has this big
banner year,
right,
for the jumping oak wasps.
Yeah, it's something I've never even seen before.
Yeah.
And we've gotten a lot of calls on it, so that's probably why it sticks out in my head, is because there's a lot of people that have called in and said there's something wrong with my white oak. And typically with oaks, people in Pittsburgh are worried about oak wilt.
Right.
So as soon as they see their oaks start to decline, they start calling us.
Sure. Which is the right thing to do. And then it's because then they get a proper diagnosis and they don't just jump to a conclusion and cut down the tree or something crazy ridiculous like that.
Correct. So. Yeah. It's always good to have somebody inspect it and an arborist inspect it and let you
know. Well, you know, I mentioned this with Dick Till last time he was in here from Davey. These door-to-door guys that go, you know, that's not the way to deal with your trees. You have to have an expert who's been trained and is a reliable, you know, company that's been around forever.
Absolutely.
When you're dealing with your trees, a tree is such an amazing investment. We're getting close to, you know, tree planting season, you know. I mean, I know we can plant most of the year, but boy, when we get to the fall, that's the time that I love to get trees in the ground.
Yeah, it's a great time of year to get trees in the ground. And, you know, typically a lot of the nurseries will start to dig new trees and fresh trees once we start getting some frost and it starts getting cold. And you can plant trees, you know, all the way up until Christmas if you really want to.
Am I crazy wanting to grow a Stewardia?
Oh.
I don't think so. You just, you know.
What are you talking about? Yours died.
Well, yeah, that's because I picked a really poor site for it.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't smart about it.
Yeah, just like anything, that's what you want to do.
It all goes back
you
to the
You weren't smart
location,
about it? What happened,
location,
what happened
location.
There? You're always so smart.
Well, I put it in within, like, I don't know, 3 weeks of us moving into our house, and I didn't pay any attention to where the low-lying areas were in the yard, and I put it in a site. And, you know, Matt described earlier as you take the tree out and the water fills up the hole, and that was my first sign of why the tree died. You know?
If you can make a mistake in the garden, then we know it's okay for the rest of us.
I make lots of mistakes in the garden.
Matt, stick around.
I just don't admit to them very often.
Stick around, Matt. I'm sure we'll have some tree questions. For more information about Davey Tree or to ask what's going on with your trees, go to www.davey.com/KDKA. And don't forget, you can always call the experts at Davey Tree at 855-982-TREE. That's 855-982-8733.
Tell them about your big day coming up later.
Yeah, I'm going to be at Phipps today for Tomato and Garlic Day. It is something that I started, probably 14 years ago as a way to try and get fresh produce from the garden for people that are hungry. It goes right to the food bank. The event today is free, but if you bring us a little garden produce, you also get into the conservatory for free. Lots of great stuff going on. You can buy garlic to plant without having to pay shipping. Enon Valley Garlic will be there. Great outdoor market with all sorts of great stuff. I'll be dishing up my ultimate garlic lover soup, which I was making last night, and the house smells like a garlic farm, which we love. Lots of kids events. And lots of other things today, 11 to 4 at Phipps. Please come out and bring some produce for the hungry.
Hey, congratulations to Alicia from Venetia. She is the winner of that $25 gift certificate from Janoski's. We're in the home stretch for the Organic Gardener. Stay with us. We continue on KDK Radio in moments. Good morning. All right, wall-to-wall phone calls. Final segment, Doug and Jess today, the Organic Gardeners. Let's go to Lou in Worthington. Hey, Lou, good morning. Welcome to KDK Radio.
Good morning to you. I got a couple questions. What kind of tree, it's got leaves that looks kind of like a walnut or sumac, and you don't see them everywhere, and they have a smooth, kind of a grayish-colored bark. I was wanting to know what kind of a tree that is.
All right, Matt, what do you think? It's tree-like. It has leaves. What is it?
That's a tough one. I don't know. I mean, there is a tree that looks like walnut called butternut that, you know, and then there's also,
yeah, you know,
the hickory trees look similar to that.
It's really
too
hard to ID a tree without seeing a picture of it.
Right, correct.
You know, we've had questions before where the tree looks like a fern or the tree looks like this. Without seeing it and just seeing those leaves, that's how you really got to ID the tree. So
is it causing you a problem in some way? Because that could help us with the
No, idea. You see, I drive truck, and I just see them different places. Some of them get pretty tall and pretty big around, and they're not a butternut. I know what a butternut is, but somebody asked me one day what kind they were, and I said, I don't know.
You need to pull over.
Take a picture.
Take a leaf, take a picture, and then we will know for sure.
Okay.
What else do we need to talk about?
Okay, I planted cucumbers, and they were doing really good. And I got about 4 8-quart buckets of cucumbers off them, and they started to die. What did I do wrong?
Oh, you did nothing wrong, but you've got bacterial wilt, which is a really devastating pathogen on cucumbers. And I had it in my garden this year too. I wasn't smart myself about planting varieties that are resistant to bacterial wilt. This is a pathogen that's spread by the cucumber beetle. As the cucumber beetle feeds on the plant, it spreads the pathogen and it can just completely wipe out those cucumber vines. So the varieties that I love to plant that are resistant are, there's one called Diva, there's one called County Fair, there's one called Market Moore 76. Those are really good choices to look for planting in the spring. And plant a couple different varieties because you're going to hedge your bets, right? That some are going to do okay and others might succumb to the pathogen.
And Lou, the other thing that I like to do is, again, just like the tomatoes, stagger my plantings.
Yep.
I like to have, you know, some in May 15 from seed, then May 30th, then maybe I'll pick up some plants around June 15 and throw those in. And usually two of those three crops will grow without the problem.
All right, let's take one more call. Brad, what's your question for Doug and Jess? Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, Brad?
Good to hear from you guys again. Anyhow, I have a squash growing in my garden, a type of squash, and I don't know what it is. It's round like a cantaloupe, and it's got a lot of ribs around it. It's dark green, and I was just wondering if you had an idea what that might be.
I wonder, you know, if it's possible that it could be an immature pumpkin. Was you describe those ribs like that in there? You know, if you saved seeds, the thing about squash and pumpkin and the members of that cucurbit family, they will readily cross-pollinate. And if you save the seeds and plant them in your garden the next year, you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes it could be tasty, and sometimes it could be a complete mysterious flop.
And
so
sometimes you get a surprise.
Yep.
You know, if you grew something from a vine crop, maybe in your compost or something, those seeds were in there, something pops up that might have crossed. And it's always fun to see what they are, though.
It is, but it's sort of like, you know, in a way, it's a waste of garden space because it's not predictable. You don't know that it's going to be a spaghetti squash or a butternut squash or turban's cap or
but
whatever.
Maybe you'll discover an amazing new squash variety, Brad.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, it's hard to say. Again, this is one without seeing it that it's really hard to ID it because there's lots of different types of squashes.
Millions of different types. Well, after a little confab between Jess and Matt, they've got some ideas on the mysterious tree that Lou was talking about.
We were thinking it might be an Elianthus, which is a
tree of heaven.
Yeah, tree of heaven. Pretty distinctive compound leaf that actually does look a bit like a walnut leaf or a sumac leaf.
Or a sumac, for sure.
And they also have sort of like a, how would you describe that flower? Like a panicle, like a
flower,
like a poof of green flower things that come out of the top of the branches.
A poof of
green flowers. Like it's a pretty distinctive flower. But maybe what he can do is Google Elianthus or tree of heaven and see if that is a match to what he's finding on the side of the road.
Kind of a weed tree, right?
It is a weed tree. You see it everywhere.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that might be
in groves typically.
Yeah. Oh, groves. That's a good way to describe it because that is sort of like that sumac feel and that it's multi-stemmed. And he described it as the gray stem, which also is kind of like, oh, I wonder if that's what it is.
Yeah, smooth, gray, thin bark.
Yeah. And isn't that one of the plants that the spotted lanternfly, which is that new invasive pest in Pennsylvania, they congregate on that?
It is, yeah. So that's sort of one of those fortunate situations because really we don't need any more tree of heaven.
Remember, the organic gardeners always aim to create a better place to garden.
And a safer place to live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.